Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Polk Street United Methodist Church live online here on a Wednesday night. It is snowing outside, but we are coming to you live tonight. As long as the signal holds, my internet is a little iffy tonight. So if we bounce out, we'll bounce back in. But thank you for being here tonight. And tonight we're going to wrap up the Holy Spirit study that we've been doing all through October with session four here. And I'm going to let Margie explain a little bit about what session four is going to entail. And please do not forget, if you guys want to say hi, ask questions, put them down below. And I promise we will try to get them on screen as we go here tonight. So Margie.
Well, hi, everybody. It's great to see you and be back with you. And if you're not in Amarillo, as Cub said, it is snowing. It's been snowing here since off and on since yesterday. And we've got a good 3 or 4 inches out in our yard. And it's just a perfect winter day to be inside and join together in Bible study. So I invite you to bow with me as we go before God in prayer. Gracious God, as always, we thank you for our day. Even if our day has been hectic, even if our day has been not quite what we wanted it to be, even if our day has been one of joy, whatever our day has been, we are thankful for the day that we have, and we are thankful for your presence with us always. All of this we lift up in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We've got a couple of comments here. Joanne Robertson says, good evening. Good evening.
Hi, Joanne.
Patricia says, good evening, good evening. And we still have Gay McAllister is watching, Bobby Mansfield, Jeanette Dickerson, Patricia Hutchinson, lots of people tuning in here. So be sure and let us know you're here. We'd love to see the chat lighting up like Christmas lights. Here we go. So
good, good. Right. Well, I'm sitting here with my cup of coffee, trying to stay warm. And so we're going to plunge right into our study, finishing up the Holy Spirit study, the Holy Ghost stories. If you remember last week when we ended, we learned that the Holy Spirit is part of God, that is sent by God into and resides within us, and that the Holy Spirit is to be an advocate, a guide to truth, a teacher. The Holy Spirit helps believers to be witnesses and empowers believers to forgive others and to be a comforter, a giver of strength. And so that the Holy Spirit is that link that we have between Jesus after his ascension and all of the followers. And it makes possible for all the works that are to be done in the name of Jesus and all of the works that he did to be continued on through the followers. And so as we think about that tonight, and as you read the scriptures that from last week that I asked you to read, I'm sure all of you did that. But I want to remind us of two or three things when we always read scripture. We've talked about how it's really important to remember the time in which it was written. And so those scriptures that you read from this past week were written sometime between 48 AD and 75 AD. And so this was a time that the church was consisted of very small groups of people. Still, they were a very small group in relationship to the Roman Empire or in relationship to the Jewish faith of which they had come out of. And so there were people within the church who had been Jewish. There were people within the movement, the church, that were Gentiles who had no background in the Jewish faith. And great persecution was going on in the Roman Empire against them. And so all of the New Testament is written to educate us, to clarify, to support, to strengthen, to encourage the early Christian movement as it was trying to carry on the mission that had been given to them by Christ. If you remember at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said to his followers, go into all the world and make disciples and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so they were trying to carry that out under these circumstances. And so tonight we're going to delve a little bit into the book of Acts and begin with chapter 2, 1 through 4. And Cub has some he wants to read.
Thank you, Margie. I'm going to read Acts 2, 1 through 4 first, and then I want to talk a little bit about what we talked about last week about reading scripture and preparing ourselves to experience the Holy Spirit. So first off, Acts 2, 1 through 4, when the Feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, a gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. And before we dive into that with Margie here, I wanted to talk about, I'm personally reading this book right now, which if you know me at all, this is one of my favorite books in the world. It's the Narnia Chronicles by C.S. Lewis, and it's the famous one is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. You probably know that. You've probably heard of it or at least heard from it or seen the movie at some point. But this book goes in chronological order and follows starting with the magician's nephew, in which a magician kind of summons these portals to another world, and his nephew and his nephew's little friend put on these rings and go through that portal and meet the White Witch, which symbolizes the devil in this story. And then they end up in this place that's full of darkness and has this beautiful music playing. And when they wake up and they open their eyes in this place, it's completely dark. And then they start to see the sun coming up and creation starts to come out of nothing. Well, this symbolizes the creation of our world. It's actually called the founding of Narnia in the chapter. And at the hand of doing all of this, there's a lion standing in the middle of this arena down in the middle of this valley they're looking over. And as he sings and his breath comes out, all of creation is popping up around him. It's a beautiful scene. But one of the things going on here is that the magician went and hid in the woods. And the kids are excited to go and meet this lion. They know he's good. They know the lion is good. And the lion represents Jesus in this story. If you're not familiar with it, that's not really a spoiler, but it's a good context for who the lion is. And so he's creating things as he sings, and the children run down to him. Well, the magician, who represents an older man who's of the world, doesn't understand magic or doesn't understand the kingdom. He runs into the woods and hides. And then this little verse comes out of the book. And I thought it was very cool because he did not understand that the lion was singing. He thought the lion was roaring and was going to eat him. But the book then says, what you see and what you hear depends a great deal on where you are standing. It also depends on what sort of person you are. And that prompted me about what we talked about last week when Margie talked about studying the scriptures, and no one else can take that test for you. No one else can be aware of what they mean and have their heart and their eyes open to them. So I just thought that was really neat, and I wanted to share that before we got going tonight.
Yes. In that scripture you read, which is we know the account of Pentecost, where the believers, the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit, and so that they can go tell that good news. But the interesting thing, it describes it as this rush of violent wind that went through. And if you remember the rush of ruach, remember we talked about that word in the Hebrew, and the tongues of fire resting on each one of them. And so that kind of relates to what you're saying. Each one of us has that relationship, personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit within us. And we each experience it and translate it and carry it out, each in our own unique way. And so it didn't make everyone alike. The tongues of fire seemed like they were touching each person individually. And they were to speak, they were to witness, they were to carry, and giving them the gifts that they needed to evangelize out into the rest of the world. And so this gift was not only just to the disciples, the 11 disciples that were left there, but a call to repentance for everybody that was around them, listening and to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit so that everybody could speak the word of God with boldness to others. And so, and as we continue on, Paul, in the scriptures that we read leading into Romans chapter 8, Paul believes that when one was baptized, then you were called to be part of the continuing work of Jesus Christ in the world, showing God's love. So I think Cub is going to read Romans 8 in a couple of sources.
Let's see. I don't think I had Romans 8 pulled up, actually, Margie. I have another verse from the Narnia book if we wanted to do that real quick. But yeah, and so actually following right into that, we're talking about being empowered to go and speak the word. And so I pulled this out of the book too from what I was reading last night. And this is when the kids are watching Aslan, the lion. He's sitting down there and he's starting to create this new world. And it says, far overhead, from beyond the veil of the blue sky, which hid them from the stars, sang again, a pure, cold, difficult music. Then there came a swift flash like fire. It burnt nobody, either from the sky or from the lion itself. And every drop of blood tingled in the children's bodies. And the deepest, wildest voice they had ever heard was saying, Narnia, 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 awake, love, think, speak. Be walking trees, be talking beasts, be divine waters. And so we talk about that empowering of the Holy Spirit. And I just love this cover, if I can see it in the light there, because right there, I mean, that was essentially this same moment happening to these kids here with that Holy Spirit flashing in and their blood tingling almost. Yes. And so that moment, just love the visual of that.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And you might pull up that picture that I sent you that kind of, again, depicts what it says, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. And you see in this picture depicting the dove and the flame and the wind and all of those imageries that we have of the Holy Spirit as we experience that. And it's coming, it is within us, each one, when we acknowledge our existence through God, through Jesus Christ, and when we are baptized, and when we say yes back to God, and we have the Holy Spirit infusing us, and we don't see it, but we feel it. And in all the pictures that you will see just depict ways that we are trying to express what that feels like and what it looks like. And so in Romans 8, chapter 8, Paul begins to talk about the Spirit. And so you can take that picture down if you would like to now, Cub. And he talks about the Spirit, and the life in Jesus Christ is a new way to live life. It's a new law. They're not burdened down by all the old laws. This is a new way to live, a new law, a new instruction that God has created through Christ. And to be in Christ is to belong to this new way, this new mandate. And therefore we can know the Spirit, and the Spirit who is the actual presence of God in our heart and in our focus once we become believers. And it is only through the Spirit that we can learn what we should say, how we should act, what we can teach. And the Spirit advocates for us, and the Spirit strengthens us no matter what type of situation we're in. And so we are people of hope that not in the old law, but living in this new law. And the Spirit allows us to do that by strengthening us, and also helps us not to live in the weaknesses that we have, the weaknesses of the flesh, as Paul puts it, kind of the weaknesses that the world's values sometimes teaches us. And so in those verses 5 through 11, it says living in the flesh means we allow our selfish passions to rule us, to override everything. But if we live in the Spirit, we belong to the community of faith where God resides as the Spirit. And then verses 12 through 17, it talks the Spirit does not make slaves of us, but makes children of us, a father, or Abba, it says. And that's the Aramaic word for father. And in 18 through 25, it says, Paul says the Christian life is going to involve sufferings. He's not telling the people in the early church, it's going to be rosy, you're not going to have any problems, you're not going to have suffering. You're going to have sufferings, but you rejoice in those, you rejoice in the glory, the hope of glory. And while we wait patiently for that ultimate redemption that we're going to have in our eternal life. And when we've been baptized, then we just are in the beginning of receiving those first fruits through our baptism. And then we can know that our human weaknesses are sustained by the Spirit's intercession and by the knowledge that God loves all of us. And we have a purpose with God. And then lastly, the verses 31 through 39 say we can take comfort in that knowledge that nothing can separate us from Jesus Christ and from God and from the Holy Spirit and the God's purpose for us. Nothing can separate us from that. And then we were asked to read Galatians 5:22. And Cub, would you share with us the Message version and the King James version that you read?
Absolutely, Margie. So this is Galatians 5:22, and I'm going to read the New King James Version first because this is kind of the one that we're all familiar with. And then I want to read the Message because the Message really unpacks it in a way that we can apply today. But in New King James, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." And so that's the New King James Version. And then the Message Version unpacks that. And I like the way this lays it out because it's really like for our modern day lives here. And this, the Message says, "But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives. Much the same way the fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others or love, exuberance about life or long suffering, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, a conviction that the basic holiness permits things and people, permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely." And I love that because exuberance about life replaces long suffering. And I always thought long suffering just meant, suffering for life. Yay, that sounds wonderful.
Or being a martyr.
Yeah, exactly. The idea that exuberance for life, you're willing to go through the bad times because you're passionate about life. You love the life God's given you and you're thankful and you honor him through that. And so I just like how it replaces these and then not needing to force our way in life. And this is something that I struggle with. I'm always trying to see what I want and see how I can get it and push my way up the ladder and everything in life. But to know that I can, sometimes it's okay to sit back and let God guide me and really let him guide me with the Holy Spirit and with the fruit of the Spirit here that it talks about. So very comforting for me the way this lays it out here, Margie, in the Message.
Well, and as you were reading that and thinking about it, as I read it this week, a couple of things kind of stand out to me that when Paul talks about, the laws up to that point or before Jesus Christ were the things that the Jewish people measured their lives by, they were justified by obeying the laws, by doing the things that they needed to do to obey the laws. And then Paul's coming out and saying, well, now you're free from that way that you lived through Jesus Christ. And so it seems to me sometimes as humans, or at least for myself, sometimes it's easier to have a law than to have the freedom to act kind of whatever way I want to act. But we're not supposed to act just any way that we want to act. We're supposed to act out of that love that God has for us and those virtues, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fruitfulness, gentleness, self-control. And all of that sounds good, and all of that sounds easy until you start to just practice each one of them. And so sometimes I think when we are free, just like when we've talked about in the beginning in the creation, in beginning with Genesis 1-3, when we have the freedom to choose how we're going to act, how we're going to behave, what we're going to say or not say, do or not do, that is more difficult sometimes than when a law just says, you do this and you will be doing the right thing, rather than, am I doing, why am I doing what I do? Am I doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do? And so it's hard sometimes as humans to do that, I think. And when I read that list, oh my goodness, I can look at each one of them and think, oh, well, and especially as I've said before, the patience one always kind of pauses, makes me pause, because I'm not a really patient person. And so sometimes it's more difficult to live in freedom, total freedom to make your choices, than it is to have someone say, if you do this, then you're going to be justified. You're going to be in right relationship. It's a little more nebulous just to have general terms thrown out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that verse, I can tell that I break that. If you just drive down I-40 on a Monday morning, immediately, you know that you need the Holy Spirit to stick to that. So.
Right. And I kind of do that with driving too. If I'm coming up to a light or whatever, I'm thinking, oh, okay, be patient. Or if the person in front of me is going slower than I want to go, and I switch lanes. And then I find I'm not any further ahead than I was to stay patient and be behind there.
Absolutely.
At that other place. So, yeah, it's I just think it's hard when freedom is not as easy as we think it is sometimes.
And absolutely.
So, yeah. So
Shirley says, good evening, everyone. Stay safe and warm. Thanks, Kevin, and Margie.
Yeah.
You bet. And then Vicki Lee says, I love that book and I love that quote. Thank you, Vicki. Yeah. Yay, yeah. We've got another fan out there. That's good.
Very good.
And real quick, everyone, before we continue and get into the last part of this, we are going to announce tonight the study for November. So stick around for that. I think you're going to love it. We're very excited about it. So don't jump off until we announce that here. But all right, we can go into the next one.
Okay. I thought kind of ending here, bringing this to a close, if you go to church or have been to any worship service, at some point we have creeds that we say, creeds that make statements about our faith, what we believe about our faith, and we say them in church. And so most of them say, all of them have something to say about God, have something to say about Jesus Christ, and have something to say about the Holy Spirit. And so I thought I would just lift out to you as we close what the various creeds say about the Holy Spirit. And we can see how as we've talked about it over the last 4 weeks, where they have arrived at those words that are in the creeds. And so The earliest one is the Nicene Creed, and all of these creeds that I'm going to talk about, if you're United Methodist, you will find them in the back of the United Methodist hymnal, and that the Nicene Creed is the oldest one. It was written in 325 A.D. at the Council of Nicaea, and it was revised at the 381 Council held in Constantinople, and it says, "We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and who is with the Father and the Son, is worshipped and glorified." And then the Apostles' Creed, that was written in 390 AD, and it's ascribed to the beliefs of the 12 apostles, says, just, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, And then there's a modern affirmation of faith that was written in 1932 or appeared in 1932 in the Methodist Episcopal Church worship service book. And even though it's called modern, in 2020 or 2020, we don't think necessarily of that being too modern, but it says, we believe the Holy Spirit is the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. And then there's a creed, the Korean Methodist Church creed written about 1930 that says, we believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. And then a statement of faith from the United Church of Canada written in 1940 that said, we believe in God who works in us and others by the Spirit. And then the World Methodist Social Affirmation written in 1986 at the World Methodist Council in Nairobi, Kenya. We believe in the Holy Spirit present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort. And so we can see in those creeds how it summarizes the things that we've been talking about over the last 4 weeks about the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament through the New Testament, how that same Spirit is what is runs through the whole Bible and is that part of God that dwells in us to strengthen us, teach us, guide us, comfort us. And I hope that this study has illumined a little more about the Holy Spirit for all of us. Come, would you close us out with this before we make our announcement?
You bet. So I've got one more quote here from the magician's nephew. And sorry about the echo, guys. We have speakers on both ends. And when I talk, it hits Margie's speakers and then comes back. So, but this is from the magician's nephew, right around the time I was talking about a minute ago. And this is a photo from that scene. This is Aslan singing and creating everything with the Spirit here. And it says, you know me better than you think you know, and you shall know me better yet. And that's from the magician's nephew. And I love this image here. This is from Bethany Sellers, which I'm not sure who that is, but this is an original artwork. We don't own the rights to this, but I just thought it was really cool to share. And you know me better than you think you know, and you shall know me better yet. And on the Holy Spirit, understanding the Holy Spirit as we've been talking about it, I just think that's a wonderful promise, a wonderful thing to remember as we moved through this study. I know I've learned a whole lot here. Margie, what has been your favorite part of this?
Well, I think just realizing that that God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are really one, and somewhat of the mystery that we seem to ascribe to what it means to have the Holy Spirit within us, what it means, really is pretty simple in terms of if we know the life that Jesus led, if we know the teachings that Jesus taught, if we see the acts that Jesus did, if we study the words that Jesus said, then all the Holy Spirit is doing is coming to us. And as we study the Bible, as we interact with each other in our faith, as we go about trying to live out our lives with God in relationship to Jesus Christ, if we do those things that Jesus did, if we say words in the way that Jesus said them, if we show compassion, if we show love and understanding and strength and encouragement to other people, then the Holy Spirit has taught us that, is reminding us of that. And so we can't, it's not three separate studies, it's a study of all together of who God is, who Jesus Christ was while on earth, and who Jesus Christ is in relationship to God, and who the Holy Spirit is in relationship to Jesus Christ and God. When we study and know the, as much as we can know about all three of those parts, then we are tuned into the Holy Spirit more clearly.
Amen. Amen. I think mine has been similar on this journey. I will say this has been a journey. We came up with this and thought it would be something cool to do for the month of October and kind of play on the whole Halloween thing. But it's actually really opened my eyes personally. And as I lay in bed last night and read my Narnia book, I just realized how accessible this is, how accessible the Holy Spirit is to God's kids. And that, you know, we don't have to dance in the aisles at church or speak in tongues or anything like that to really experience the Holy Spirit and tap into that power that that God offers to us. So that was really what opened my eyes for this personally. So I've really enjoyed this. So thank you, Margie, as always, for your knowledge and understanding of all of this. And thank you, everyone, for watching and being a part of this.
Yeah. Well, I'm on a faith journey just like you and everyone else with us here tonight. We're all on a faith journey, and we are all always open to needing to learn more and to seek. None of us have the absolute answers, but we're all in on a seeking journey.
Absolutely. Well, Margie, are you ready? The time is here.
Yeah. Yes.
And I will I'll bring the graphic up and I will let you introduce what we're going to do next month.
Okay. You see, with thinking about Thanksgiving coming up in November, Kevin and I decided a study of forgiveness, the heart of Thanksgiving. And we're going to look at it from the perspective of not only forgiving others, but receiving forgiveness ourselves and being able to forgive yourself and accept that forgiveness for yourself so that you can forgive others. And so the scriptures that I'm going to ask you to read are Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, and Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 13. Because in order to forgive others, we have to understand what forgiveness is, and that we ourselves are forgiven, and that we can forgive ourselves, and so that we don't have the disease of woulda, shoulda, coulda following us in every decision, every place we go in life. I think forgiving ourselves is a very important concept, but it's hard to do. So that's what's ahead starting next week.
Awesome. Well, Margie, thank you. And I'm particularly excited about this one because the idea of forgiving ourselves, you know, from little things to big things, it doesn't matter. If we can't come into agreement with God that we've been forgiven, then it's really hard for us to live in the fruit that we've talked about through this study and through the other understandings that we're looking to find through our journey here on this planet. So very, very excited about this. And we've got a couple of comments here. Patricia says, I've really enjoyed the messages this month, and I love that you brought Narnia into it. Love those books. You bet. Looking forward to next week. And I think that about wraps it up. So we are so excited about the new study. And just thank you, everyone, for being here every week. We've watched this continue to grow and reach new people. So just don't forget, you can watch the replay anytime on Facebook or YouTube. We count those views each week. We're excited every time we get a new one. And we're reaching hundreds of people every week now between Facebook and YouTube with this ministry. So we thank you guys so much for that. You can always share it, email it out, post it on your Facebook page, whatever you would like to do. And as always, if you have questions, comments, prayer concerns, send them to Margie at margiemcnair@psumc.com. So Margie, do you have anything else to sign us off?
Yeah, I want to thank everybody that has been sending the emails to me. And if you haven't, I hope you continue doing it with suggestions of what we could, how we could improve this, or how it affects your life and why you join us on Wednesday evenings. And we are just, Kevin and I are both very thankful for each one of you that choose to take your time to do it, because you have lots of pull on your time and you could do it, a lot of other things at 6:30 on Wednesday evenings. And I feel humbled and honored that you choose to spend 30 plus minutes with us.
Absolutely.
Good evening.
Thank you, everyone. Autumn says, sounds like a great study. Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys. Joanne says, thank you. The faith journey continues. And we've heard your feedback, and we are working on some ideas for some ways we can integrate you guys into this a little bit more hands-on, so we can communicate with you guys. And we'll be discussing that more as we go through this next section of the journey. So from everyone at Polk Street, thank you, guys. We love you. Have a wonderful night, and stay safe out there.
Yes.